Welcome to the Lifeway Church Podcast. We are so glad that you have joined us, and we hope that you are encouraged by today's message.
My name is Andrew McLean. I'm the lead pastor. Happy New Year to all of you. It's great to see you the first Sunday of 2020. My name is Andrew McLean. I'm the lead pastor here at the Lifeway Church. We're just so thankful to have you in service with us. Well, today is a really special day because today kicks off our annual 21 days of prayer and fasting. Anybody excited about prayer and fasting? All right, you don't have to clap your hand for the fasting part. Let's just be honest, it's not the funnest thing that we do. But what we're going to do starting today for the next 21 days, we're going to pray together as a church. And I encourage everyone here can fast some sort of something. And I realize all of us have different health, you know, things going on. And so not everyone can do a straight fast, but I would encourage you to fast something over the course of the next 21 days. And as we move into the new year, I just want to be positioned. I want my soul and my heart to be positioned for what God wants to do, all right? How many of you feeling like God wants to do something in 2020? How many of you just got some junk from 2019? You just don't want to carry over? Come on, anybody here, right? And so we're just going to pray together. And I just believe that in this time of prayer, God's going to break some things off of our life, some things that have become distractions to us. And so if you have a cell phone, go ahead, take it out right now. I encourage you to text the word prayer to 414-310-7650, 414-310-7650. We'll keep that up on the screen for a couple of moments. And in that is our prayer guide. So for the course of 21 days, there's actually a daily devotional that we encourage you to go through, along with the SOAP reading for this month is also in there. And then there's also some things about fasting and types of fast, just to give you some ideas of what is there. So you can get that when you text that number. You'll get a response with a live link that you can click and get access to that. Those of you, how many of you have the Lifeway Church app on your phone? Okay, a lot of you have that. So on your church app, if you'll go to the More page, there's 21 Days of Prayer devotional guide, and of course I have mine on airplane mode. So it did open up even on airplane mode because I'd already loaded. So you can also access the prayer guide there. But we encourage you to follow along with us. And listen, God's going to do incredible things. And so I'm reminded when Jesus was walking the earth, he sent the disciples out, and the disciples encountered some people that were an individual who was demon possessed, and they came back to Jesus, and no matter what they tried, they weren't able to cast the devil out of the demon out of this person. And they came back to Jesus, and Jesus said, "Hey, you guys don't understand. Some things only happen by prayer and fasting." And so listen, we're going to come together every Sunday, and God's going to show up because where two or three are gathered, Scripture tells us there he is in the midst of them. But listen, if you're believing God for miracles in your life, like if you're believing God to see some things happen in your family or anything like that, listen, some things only happen by prayer and fasting. And so how many of you will commit with us just to pray and fast over the next 21 days? Take some time, do something for God, and listen, I know God's going to show up, and it is going to be amazing. Prayer is what will give us the power as a church to help people who are broken, get people set free, all right? And so we need Jesus to show up and do that. So I want to let you know about that. That starts today, and that runs through the 25th of January. All right, wanted to give a special thank you. Come on, all of those who worked hard at the building this week. Come on, raise your hands. Come on, man, you guys killed it this week. We have now filled up almost two complete dumpsters, 30 cubic foot dumpsters. We've almost completely filled two of those up with garbage and dust and grime and dirt. And some of you were scraping glue dots. Now, if you guys can picture this, about this size on the basement floor, there was about 1,400, ceiling, not the floor, the ceiling, that makes it even worse, the basement level of the ceiling, 10 feet up in the air, there was about 1,400 glue dots about this size on the ceiling that all had to be scraped with and then heat gun and then scraped off. And man, we had some people that killed that, man, they worked and worked and worked And so thank you for everyone who came and served. Just continue to watch your email and social media. We'll let you know as more work days kind of unfold. But the old saying is many hands make light work. And man, when we started that DOT project, I think Deb was there the first day. I thought, oh my God, we're going to be doing this till next year. I mean, it just was so, and man, a whole bunch of people came and we had, I think, as many heat guns running as you could legally have in that building without starting it on fire. Probably more than you should even legally have, honestly. But just so thankful for what God is doing and just wanted to just give you an update on that. Well, we want to also welcome all of those who are guests. I see some faces that I've not met before. So let's give all of our guests a big hand. And also welcome all of those who are listening to our message online today. We love and are thankful for our online audience. The reason I have you clap so much is I want to make sure you're not sleeping by the time I start preaching, all right? So today we are continuing a four-part series called Margin, Making Room for Breakthrough. Everybody say breakthrough. 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 Come on, look at your neighbor and say, I'm looking for breakthrough in some areas in my life. And so this morning I want to teach this, once again, very, very practical series. This morning I want to teach about how to create margin in our schedules. And I want to start just like I did last week by asking a few questions. And so just kind of, you know, if this applies to you, go ahead and raise your hand. As you can already tell, we like to be interactive here. So here's the first one. How many of you would like to have more time for yourself to rest, get some sleep, or maybe do something that you just enjoy doing? Come on, let's see, show of hands. So, man, well over 50, 60% of us, all right? How many of you would like to have more time to spend with the people that you love? Come on, let me see your hands. All right, awesome. How many of you would like to have more time to spend with God? Now, listen, don't be obligated because the pastor's up here. If you don't feel that way, that's fine. You don't have to raise your hand. No guilt given here. All right. Most of us raised our hands to at least two of these, and some of us raised our hands to all three of these areas that we believe are important to us in the way that we spend our time. Yet even if starting tomorrow, like, man, we just pressed into prayer and fasting today, and God miraculously gave all of us in this room an extra 2 hours a day, it's very unlikely that we would actually spend the time doing any of those three things. Because our culture has a way of overwhelming whatever margin it is that we have. I want you to just kind of think back, and for some of you, maybe it's been a long time, but think back to maybe the last time you got an unexpected half a day off of work, or even if it was planned, right, and you think back to that, chances are pretty good that you didn't spend those 4 hours in God's presence. Chances are pretty likely that you didn't spend those 4 hours with doing something with people that you love. Instead, it was likely that you ran errands. Come on, somebody, right? Or you caught up on chores, or you worked ahead, you caught up on the laundry that's been backed up for 4 or 5 months, you know, in the laundry chute area. You know, chances are you pulled out your computer and said, man, I've got these 25 emails that I've needed to respond to. You know, there were many other things that felt urgent that overwhelmed what you actually believe is the most important things in your life. And that's just the way in our society that life tends to be. I remember when I was about 12 years old, I got a job. I was so excited. I'll never forget the day the phone rang, and the evening news was the local newspaper in the city that I grew up in, and they had offered me a job, and it was going to be something like $60 a week. And to a 12-year-old man, I was counting. I was like, man, I'm raining money. Like, this was so awesome. The only problem was is that the route that they were offering to me, which was the neighborhood I lived in, was considered a motor route, which meant that usually someone in a car, you know, would drive around because it was kind of spread apart geographically. And so, believe me, I developed a great relationship and a great dependency on my bicycle, so I could make my deliveries as quickly as possible. In fact, even in the snow, I would ride my bike because I just had to get there as fast as I could and get this taken care of. And every once in a while, I took good care of my bike. I drove it so much, and I'd have to change the brakes. And you know, but sometimes, you know, you're in a hurry, and you jump off to see friends, and you throw it down. And how many of you ever had like your front tire just kind of get out of alignment on your bike? And so, man, I could ride my bike and no hands, but man, whenever that bike got out of alignment, it would just naturally pull me like to one side or the other. And you know, you guys know the no hand ride. Come on, let me get a show of hands. No hand riders, like on your bike. Yeah, some of you don't have teeth because of it today. Yeah. And so what happens is when our bike would get out of alignment, it would just pull me to one direction or the other, you know, off towards the ditch. And so in much the same way, by our nature, all of us are out of alignment with God. Our sinful nature pulls us away from God. It pulls us away from the things that he wants for us, and it pulls us towards this culture that we live in, and our culture is constantly just grabbing us and pulling us off center, really into a marginless lifestyle. But this is the hope I have for you in this series. I want you to understand that God has a better way for you and I to live. And so our working definition of margin for this series, if you take out your sermon outline, encourage you to follow along, take some notes. If you've got the church app, you can do this digitally. But margin, our working definition of margin for this series is this: margin is the amount available beyond what is necessary. In other words, it is the difference between what you have and what you need. And so having margin in our schedules would look like having the time to do what is truly important in life. It would be being able to help someone who's in need without thinking, I really don't have time to do this. Come on, how many of you, your phone is ringing and it's someone like family member, I just need your help. And you're like, man, I just don't have time. And then we kind of like, well, I can't say no, but I don't want to say yes. And we kind of have these fights, you know, in our minds all the way through. And I've got so many other things that we need to do. But margin would give us time to do that. Margin in our schedule would be having time to listen to our children or our spouse while not working in our minds on something else. Come on, anybody ever been there before? Come on, don't lie in church. Come on, raise your hand. Thank you, Delisa in the back. Yeah, right? You know, like they're talking, the lips are moving, but you're not listening to one single thing. You just kind of nod your head and, mm-hmm. Yeah, guys, for us, it's when we watch football games, and we're just like, yeah, nodding and like, what did I just say? You know, and you're like, oh, crud, I'm in trouble now, right? Margin would be having time to be interrupted and still be glad about the opportunity to help someone. Margin is having time to rest, to relax, and to reflect. Margin is having a great amount of time available to spend with the people that you love. Margin is having plenty of quality time with God, with the creator and the sustainer of our universe. Margin for most of us in this room is the very thing that we do not have enough of. Tell your neighbor, I need some more margin in my life. And so a lot more, somebody said. All right, the key verse for this message is found in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 15. This is what it says. It says, so be careful. Everybody say, be careful. How you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. And so the Apostle Paul, he warns us. He says, hey, pay attention. Be careful, because there's a constant pull away from the most important things to the lesser important things of this world. And so we must fight against the gravitational pull of our culture that we live in. And so this verse shows us that the default stance, I want you to recognize this in this verse, the default stance that we, most of us, live in is not wisdom, it's foolishness. And so the Apostle Paul is telling us, be careful how to live. Be careful how we plan. Be careful what we say yes to. Be careful what we say no to. Right? Some of us are saying yes to the wrong things, and we're saying no to the right things. And going on, it says, make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. And also sometimes it's so frustrating, the evening news comes on and I just can't hardly even watch it anymore. It's so overwhelming and it's so saddening every single day. But listen, God has placed us on this earth, and even in the evil days that we live in, we have an opportunity, but we've got to live with wisdom, not as fools. Verse 17, don't act thoughtlessly, but understand. Everybody say, understand. What the Lord wants you to do. In other words, if we're not careful, our society is going to pull us off center and away from the things that God has truly called us to do. And so I know in a crowd this size, there are many different people that work many different occupations. We got some that are working on assembly lines, some that are working in an office, some that are working in construction and building trades, and whatever your occupation may be, know that God created you for something more. He created you to make an eternal difference with the time that you have on this earth. And so we must be careful not to get dragged away from the things that matter most and instead live in a marginless and meaningless lifestyle. And so for many of us, when asked to do something, you know, after service, you know, hey, we're going to do something, you know, hey, you want to come over, you want to hang out, and we'll go to our spouse, and we'll say, hey, are we free, you know, this day and this time? Or at times we'll ask ourselves when we're deciding to do something, is it right or is it wrong? And listen, you know, do we have time? Is it right? Is it wrong? Those are not bad questions, but I also think that they're not the best question that we could ask. Pastor Andy Stanley wrote a book called The Best Question Ever. And the question really that captures the essence of this book is such a better question for us to ask in our lives. And it's this question, very short, three words: is it wise? Is it wise? And so I would encourage you, when you're making decisions about your schedule, to ask yourself, is it wise? For example, ask yourself, in light of my future hopes and dreams, is adding this thing to my schedule wise? In light of the fact that my marriage is not where I want it to be, and it's not where God wants it to be, is it wise for me to join a dart league that'll keep me away from home two or three nights a week? I tried to pick something that no one was doing, so I hope you're not like, well, who's playing darts? And then if you're here playing darts, you're like, oh my God, you're talking to me. No, I tried to pick the most obscure thing. Probably wasn't obscure enough, right? Or in light of the fact that we have two children in diapers at home and a stay-at-home mom or a stay-at-home dad with them, is it wise to work a job as the other spouse that requires 70 hours a week? Or in light of the fact that we desire to follow God's financial plan, is it wise to put my child in an activity that we really cannot afford? Asking ourselves these questions is so important because James 4:14 tells us, how do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog, right? It's here a little while, and then in just an instant, it's gone. Listen, I want you to understand the lives, the breath that we have in our lungs this morning. It is precious, and our lives are short. And each moment that we have, every single day, and every single hour is a gift from our Creator. And so we must learn to ask ourselves not, is it right or is it wrong or can we do it? But instead, we must ask ourselves, is it wise? Well, we need to make the most of the right opportunities that pass by us each and every day. And so I want to get really practical, break this down for you this morning, and try to answer the question, how do we schedule wisely? How do we schedule wisely? Because for most of us, the problem is that we schedule our lives without much of a second thought. And so the next blank in your outline is this: we must learn, we must have the courage, we must have the faith to say no to, listen to this, good things, so that we can say yes to the best things. Too many good things quickly become the enemy of the best things that God has for us. And so that's why the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 2:12, and he tells us, he says, don't copy the behavior and the customs of the world. Listen, I know everybody else down the block has their kids in 18 activities that require 27 nights a week of commitment. Listen, don't copy that, but watch this. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. And I want you to understand, God's calling us to not think like everyone else in our society thinks. He's calling us not to think like every other neighbor on our block thinks or every other co-worker that we work beside thinks. And so if we find ourselves, if we look at our lives and find ourselves being in alignment in most places with society, it's a sure sign that we have been pulled away from God and toward the culture of this world. Because the closer we get towards God, the more different we will be from the world in which we live. The closer we are to the heartbeat of God, the more differently we're going to choose to invest our time. And so our goal should not to be culturally, our goal should be to be culturally viewed as not normal. Why? Because listen, I think all of us would agree when we look at what's normal in our culture, we could say in almost every area that it is not working. Normal says that over 50% of marriages are going to end up in divorce. Normal says that kids grow up, become teenagers, and they're all rebellious. Normal tells us that relationally, we should be bankrupt and empty inside. And so when it comes to scheduling, what is normal is being overwhelmed and overworked and frenzied and stressed and miserable. It's being busy, but still being empty inside. And so that's what our society says is normal. And listen, I don't want that in my life, and I don't want that for your lives. I want the life that Jesus Christ described as he walked the earth and said, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. I've come to fill you with joy. I've come to put peace in your hearts. And so when you ask someone how they're doing today, maybe you did it this morning as you were getting coffee and donuts. Say, hey, how was your week? How you doing? What's the most common response we hear from everybody? We're fine, just busy, right? Anybody ever said that to you? Just busy, busy, busy. What I want you to understand this morning is that busyness does not equal productivity. There are too many people busy doing useless things. So many people are being robbed from a life of meaning, not because they're not committed, but because they're overcommitted to the wrong things. And that's good preaching right there. And so that's why I want to challenge you. I want to dare you to have the courage and the faith to say no to what so many others say yes to. And why? I want you to say no to the things that so many other people say yes to so that you can say yes to the very best things, the things that God has for you. Listen, just because you can do something doesn't mean that you should do it. So listen, I get it. I get it. This is so much easier to say. It's so much easier to get up here and talk about than to actually navigate and do in our real lives. How many of you have ever maybe had an opportunity come up for you or maybe for your kids and you thought, you know what, how can I say no to that? Come on, let me see your hands. How many of you ever thought, man, I can't even, like four of you, like, come on, really? Yeah, yeah. How can I say no to that? I want to tell you a secret on how to say no. You guys ready for a secret on how to say no to something? You guys ready? It's really profound. No. So if someone asks you to do something that will cause you to live a life that is not truly pleasing to God, we're just going to pull it back to the 80s. Just say no. Come on, where are all my 80s kids at, right? Just say no. And so you may be, some of you are like, what is that even about? Just say no to drugs, guys, all right? So you may be wondering, well, don't I have to give a reason? No. You may have never even recognized this, but no is a complete sentence. No. Smile and stand there. Make it awkward. Now, our family and our marriage, my boys will tell you, is far from perfect. We have so many ways to grow. We have so many ways to improve. But I'm just going to give you some practical examples of how some of this stuff plays out in our home. And I battled with doing this all week because if you just knew the mess we were in other areas, you know, it's like, well, who am I to talk about the two or three things good that we do? But these are some of the things that we do that I think are a little different from what our culture dictates as normal. Here's some of what we've decided to say no to so that we can say yes to some of the better things. During a difficult season in our marriage, Shyla and I had discovered that we really weren't making time for each other. And so we did a few things. We did a few things. First, we started scheduling our date nights, all right? And Shyla can confirm with you that this is the truth. Whenever we schedule a date night, so when it's actually put in the calendar, meaning, you know, we go in here and, you know, we use a digital calendar, and we share our calendar together. When it's actually typed in here, when we put a date night in there, it happens like 99.9% of the time. In fact, I've even had some of you come up to me and say, hey, would you and Shyla meet with me? And I'll pull up my phone, and because date night is scheduled, I honestly have told some of you, I'm sorry, I've got something on my calendar that evening. Is there a different night that we could meet? And so what have we done? We've scheduled time to cultivate the most important relationship in our lives, and that is the one that Shyla and I share with each other. All right? And so it's not, and hear me, I told you that, and you're like, oh man, he blew me off for his wife. Yeah, I did. She's way better looking than you. All right, listen, but we understand, it's not that you're not important, it's that we can't be there for you long term unless we've first been there for each other. We also made a rule that on our date nights, there are no phones unless we're taking pictures of the food, because we're foodies. You guys that follow us know that. And so if the phone rings or a text comes in, unless it's one of our boys, we simply do not answer. The world will still be there 3 hours when our date is done, right? Because what we discovered was that we could even set the time aside for each other, but still be distracted and not connect in a deep level with each other. And I get it. This isn't normal in our culture, but we've decided to say yes to this so that we can have the best things in life. With our children, we love for them to try new things. We love for them to be involved in things at school and in athletics, from sports to activities to even being able to do things with friends. However, even before, this isn't something we just started when we launched the Lifeway Church. From the day we were married, Shyla and I, we made a commitment that on Sundays we go to church, period. All right? And we not only attend church, but in every single season of our lives, even when our kids were little and we were racing around the church, I should say Shyla was racing around the church trying to keep them under control, we've always served. Because God has called us to do something great with the talents he's put inside of us. And so in our family, our boys can sign up to be in any number of great activities. But we tell the leaders from day one, if something falls on a Sunday morning, we're not available as a family. We try to say no to good things in order to say yes to the best things. And so that's just, we made the choice. And I get it culturally. Well, you're not very nice to your kids. Well, sorry, I guess we're not very nice, right? But we've made a choice because we believe that God shows up in this place and he's going to meet our needs financially and spiritually and emotionally, and we're going to be built up by being around brothers and sisters in Christ. I know some people don't like to hear this, but it's true. Better move on, because I'm getting angry eyebrows right now, right? As a family, our typical rhythm is to eat dinner together about 4 times a week, but at family dinner, we turn the music off. We don't allow cell phones at the dinner table. Why? Because we're trying to foster an environment where we can actually connect and talk to each other. Now, again, let me just be real. You know, if you come and sit in, we do have some dinners where everybody's eating there, and it's just kind of quiet. You know, because sometimes kids be crabby, right? You know? Right? But we're trying to not let technology suck the life out of our relationships. So many of us will say, you know, I don't have enough time to do the things I know that I should or would like to. How many of you ever said, man, I really like to work out because I'm overweight. And then, you know, like I had to get all new pants this year because none of my pants would fit. And I just don't have time, right? How many of you ever told yourself that? Or, man, I want to spend time with God. I just don't have time. I want to go see my mom and dad who are getting up in age, but I just don't have time. And months go by. And then it's 3, 4, 5, 6 months past. Listen to this. This is crazy. A study released in May of this year. How many of you own a smartphone? Let me see your hands. You own a smartphone. All right, almost everybody in the room, listen to this. The average smartphone user in the United States of America spends over 3 hours a day on their device. 90% of that time is actually not spent on the phone, it's actually spent on apps. So let me break it down. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Candy Crush, you know, whatever, you know, words, what is it, Wordscape or whatever it is, like whatever the popular thing is. Listen to this. Nielsen Research said that the average American, this blows my mind, spends 28 hours a week watching TV. When that stat only includes the adults, that number goes to over 35 hours a week. Think about it. That is 3 to 4 complete productive workdays being spent watching TV or being on the phone. And so that means, like, you break out and do the math. Like, I'm weird that way. So I was like, why are you always getting your calculator out? Because I'm weird, all right? But listen, this is the math. That means that by the time the average American turns 70 years old, they will have spent the equivalent of 10 years of their life watching a box on the wall. Normal? Yes. Wise? No. Be careful. Be careful if we're not wise and aware. Culture will pull us into things that ultimately do not matter. And I know in a crowd this size, some of you love The Bachelor, but you can't even name season 3 of who won. But your life, oh, I can't do this. God, I don't have time to pray. He wants me to read this 2-paragraph devotional every, The Bachelor's on, you know? All right, I'll not pick on the girls. Football's on, guys. All the ladies are like, hey, man, I saw one wife. Yeah, preach it, brother. Listen, I don't know what it may be for you, but please don't ever say, I wish I had more time to serve, or I wish I had more time to love, or I wish I had more time to spend with Jesus. I wish I had more time to do the things that are important to me, because here's the truth. We all have time for what we choose to make time for. All of us in this room, we make the choice. And this is what's so interesting to me. As margin is squeezed out of our lives, listen, we lose the two things, the two most important things that we should never let go of. Let me share the first two things that go when our margin is depleted. The next blank in your outline, number one, the first thing that happens when we lose our margin every single time, take it to the bank, look back over your life, you'll see it to be true every time. When we lose the margin, the first thing that happens is we lose our intimate time with God. When life gets crazy, we tend to cut out our intimate connection time with Him. And this is a problem because, as I mentioned earlier, by nature, our hearts are out of alignment. And so daily, we need to realign our hearts with the Word of God. That's why soaping is so important. With His truth, spending time in His presence. Jesus tells us in Matthew 6:33, He says, seek the kingdom of God, what? Above all else, and live righteously. And then there's a promise, and He will give you everything. Everybody say everything. Everything that you need. And so we all want God to provide everything that we need, but we quickly forget the beginning of that verse, and that is to seek ye first the kingdom of God. And so I just want to tell you as plainly as I can tell you, you don't have the time not to spend with God. It's so much like the tithe. When you put aside the first for God, He will bless the rest. I promise you, if you'll take 10, 15 minutes in the morning, and if you seek Him first, the rest of your day is going to get so much better, and you're going to be so much more productive because you're going to be aligned with the heartbeat of God. Amen. Jesus, He taught us when praying, He said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We can't know the kingdom if we haven't connected to the King. And the result of being centered on God's will is that we become sensitive to the things that we should do versus the things that we should not do. Last week, I asked you to spend 5 minutes just being in the presence of God. In other words, no producing, just quiet and listening. And so this week, as we begin our 21 days of prayer and fasting, I challenge you to double that number and spend 10 minutes every day. Turn everything off. Shut out the noise and just listen for the voice of God. Open up God's word. In fact, one of the things that I started doing is I, you know, for the first time ever, and I'm admitting this, it's on podcast, everyone can hear, I have never ever one time in my life, and I've been walking with Jesus from the time I could ever know anything about anything, I've been in church, and I have always tried to read the 1-year Bible, and I have failed every single time. I've gotten, you know, I'll get, you know, sometimes if I really push through, I can get past Leviticus, which is really, really hard. But then I get to the Old Testament and some of the prophets. I'm like, you know, like Job, it's just always hard for me to read Job. I don't know for any of you, Job is just a hard book for me. And so this year, for the first time in 2019, I read through the entire Bible. But this is how it happened. This is how it happened is I just made a commitment. So many of us, this sits on our nightstand next to us. We get up in the morning, we open it up, and what do? We open up Instagram or Facebook, and it's scroll, scroll, scroll. Yeah, I should get in the shower. Scroll, scroll, scroll. And then it's like 40 minutes, then we're late. We don't have no margin. We're cutting people off on the road and all that stuff. So I made the commitment. When I pick up my phone, I'm just going to read my Bible before I brush my teeth, before I go to the bed. I don't even get out of bed, right? And so this year, I was able to read through the Bible in like 9 months. because I just committed. This is the first thing that I'm going to do. And so, you know, and think about it. Why would I choose to spend 20 or 30 minutes reading social media when 90% of it makes you mad or is depressing, right? Come on, you don't have those people in your family, right? Right? We've got the living word available to us. So let's realign our heart to the things of God, and we will watch over the rest of our day as things become more productive, as we get more productive, as things fall in place. Why? Because we've sought the Father, first of all. Here, I'm taking way more time than I should. Here we go. Let's go to point number two, the second essential thing that matters that is missing. Number two is intentional times of rest. Intentional times of rest. Many of us, when we get busy and when we lose our margin, we feel like we cannot afford to take a day of rest. But I want to remind you that even God Almighty, the creator of the universe, he worked 6 days, and on the seventh day, the Bible tells us that he rested. And so many of us will think about the Ten Commandments that God gave his children, and we think, man, that's a pretty good list, and I'm pretty good. You know, thou shalt not kill. Check, I didn't kill anyone this week, thank God. You know, thou shalt not commit adultery. Check, I didn't do that this week. Thou shalt not steal. God, I didn't steal. Awesome. Thou shalt not covet. Yeah, man, I'm pretty good there, God. You know, honor thy father and mother. Man, I love my mom and dad so much. Check, I'm good there. Thou shalt not make for yourself a carved image. Check, I've not done that. God, I'm doing pretty good. Like, you know, you read through this, man, I'm a pretty good guy, right? And then we forget about that. One of those 10 is remember the Sabbath day. And keep it what? Holy. What does holy mean? Remember from our last series, holy means set apart. And so in his wisdom and his grace, God commanded his people to observe a weekly day of rest. And listen, I want you to understand, you may think, well, I can't afford to do this. This is a principle of faith, just like our giving. God says that if you'll rest one out of every seven, I'll allow you to produce even more. And most of us, we tell ourselves, we think that we're too busy or that we're too important to truly take a day off and disconnect from everything. And when we do that, we're essentially saying that God's principles are not true, that we don't really believe that resting will make us more productive and more spiritually healthy. Here's the deal this morning. Most of us tell ourselves that we don't have time for all of the most important things in our life, but the reality is we don't have time for these most important things because we're out of alignment with God. And so God is challenging us as we move into a brand new year, as we start into a new year, and I don't want anyone to walk out of here and feel discouraged this morning, but I want you to be encouraged. Listen, let's not surrender to the foolish ways of this culture. Let's make the choice to fight with everything that is within us to be different, to be countercultural, because most of us can look around and we can agree that this world and the normal that is part of this world is not working. As everyone closes their eyes and bows their head, I'm asking right now, nobody look around. I don't want anybody looking around right now. But I want to ask two questions. Normally we just ask one. We'll ask that one in just a few minutes. But I want to ask two questions before that. And I want you to be really honest. I want you to let the weight of these questions sink in your heart. How many of you in the room today, a lot of times we focus this moment on those who haven't said yes to Jesus, and don't worry, we're going to get there in a second. But how many of you who would say, you know what, I am a follower of Jesus. I consider myself to be a Christian. But even though you say that, you don't have consistent, intimate time with Jesus. Come on, I just want us to be honest. No one looking around. Just lift your hand. Is that you? Is that you? Wow. Come on. Don't be afraid. It's all right. It's all right. Thank you for your honesty. You can put your hands down. I want you just to think about that for a moment. Because I believe that every hand that went up in this room, there's no one here that would say, well, I don't really love Jesus. I just come to church because that's just what I come, nothing better to do on a Sunday morning. No. In your heart, you want to do what's right. But listen, our spiritual enemy is so cunning to the point that he has convinced us to think and to believe that we can do this, that we can run this race all on our own. I just want you to feel the weight of that right now. Is skipping out on that time really wise? Eyes still closed, no one looking around. How many of you are like me? and consistently struggle with being so busy and overwhelmed that you find it difficult to rest, that you just can't ever turn off. You can't sleep at night for some of you. For some of you, it's work 24/7. Come on, let me see your hands. Come on, God wants to release us today. Thank you. Thank you for your honesty. You can put your hands down. I want to tell you that the breakthrough that you're looking for in your mind, the breakthrough that you're looking for in your career, the breakthrough that you're looking for in your marriage, the breakthrough that you're looking for with your children, the breakthrough that you're looking for in your ministry is going to be unlocked by doing these two things: spending intimate time with Jesus and having intentional times of rest. And so some of us here, we need to commit right now to start using a calendar app. Schedule yourself a daily appointment with God. Let it ring on your phone each and every day. God is waiting to meet with you, and schedule it. Schedule yourself some weekly rest time, a time where you're not producing. Listen, it's okay to have fun. It's okay to take a deep breath. It's okay. You don't have to produce all the time. You're burning yourself out and you're stressing yourself out, and literally you're killing yourself from the inside out. So many of us are overwhelmed because we really think there is something else out there that is going to make us feel better. Maybe it's the next promotion. It's the thing that maybe the next promotion and money that comes with the promotion can buy. Or it's the next house. Or it's the better car. Or it's the right relationship. Or it's someone different. Or it's some experience. Listen, the reason that so many of us are overwhelmed and doing so much is because, truthfully, we are empty on the inside. And I believe that people all around this world are trying to fill a God-shaped void that's inside of their heart with everything but God. And so Jesus, he's the one who told us when he walked to the earth, he said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened. Come to me and I will give you rest." Listen, everything that you need today is found and can be found in Jesus. He has the name that is above every other name. Forgiveness is found in him. Healing is found in him. Joy is found in him. Peace is found in him. Hope is found from him. Freedom is found in him. Eternal life is found in him. So this is the reason that all of us in this room need to come to Jesus today. Understand this. Jesus didn't come for those who are healthy. He didn't come for those who had it all together and who were perfect. Jesus came for the sick. He came for the sinners. He came for the broken. He came for you and for me. And he tells us in the book of Revelation, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Jesus is standing and knocking at the door of your heart today. And watch this, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. This morning he's knocking and he's inviting you to come in. And so if you recognize the fact this morning, hey, I'm a sinner, I'm far from him, I'm trying to fill my life with everything else but him, but today I just feel something in my spirit, I'm ready to come to Jesus. If that's you today, come to him just as you are. If you make that choice, he will hear your prayer, he will transform you, and I promise you, he will set you on a journey and your life will never be the same. So those who are in this room today that are ready to say yes to Jesus, maybe you're here this morning, you're ready to recommit your life to follow him. If you're ready to ask him to be the Lord of your life without hesitation, no one looking around, would you just lift your hands? I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Hands up all over this place. This is the greatest decision that you could ever make. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, Lord, I thank you for the power of your word. Lord God, I thank you that you love me so very much. That you left your throne in glory, you left your kingdom in heaven, and you came to earth to pay the price that I deserve to pay. And so, Lord Jesus, I come to you. All I have is brokenness, pain, hurt, Lord, but I just lift my hands to you. I extend them out and I give you my life. I give you my heart. I give you my soul. Lord Jesus, make me new today. Lord, I believe in you. Lord Jesus, I pray over everyone that's in this church, that's a member of this church. Lord God, that you'd help us get control of our schedules, because for some of us, it's literally killing us from the inside out. And Lord God, that you'd give us the courage to say no to even some good things in our lives, but things that are keeping us from the best that you have. And Lord Jesus, as this year turns, to a new and fresh opportunity, Lord God, we commit all over again to be first in our lives. We commit our hearts and our lives to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen.
Thank you for listening. We'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. You can email us at stories@thelifeway.org or connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. If you'd like to support this podcast, you can give today by visiting thelifeway.org/give. Thanks again for listening, and be sure to check in next week for a new message. Have a great week.